This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Ospedia Channel 1 and online.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I don't know about you, but I was glued to the coverage of the Tokyo Olympics recently. Regardless of the difficult timing of events, we were still able to catch up next day and hone in on all the highlights of so many top quality events and also see some new and different sports taking place. But it was heartbreaking, wasn't it, to see stadium after stadium, all so beautifully made, so devoid of spectators. But of course it was necessary in order to prevent the spread of COVID and to protect the competitors and the judges. To think that Tokyo surged ahead despite the obvious risks, despite an obvious loss of income, despite some opposition from its own people, was quite something. I personally think they're to be congratulated. The beautiful spirit of the Games came through and gave the world a lift after such a horrendous year. And it was so moving to watch all the highs and the lows, the joys and the frustrations as the Games progressed, with all the many stringent rules in place for order and fairness, and to the satisfaction of every competitor. Our gospel reading today is about rule-keeping. Here's a light-hearted song written for children from my Kaleidoscope of Characters album, which sets out the 10 major rules in the Bible in Exodus 20 that were given by God to Moses. But these rules weren't just for children, were they?
Around with even eyes. 7, be faithful. 6, don't kill. 5, honor parents, show goodwill. 4, the Sabbath is a holy day. 6 days work, now time to play. 3, 2, 1, are all to do with loving God, 'cause he loves you.
Let's hear today's reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 this time, and beginning to read at verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. I wonder if you've heard the story where a Jewish man and an Englishman were talking about their respective races, and the Jewish man said, you've taken everything from us. You even took our Ten Commandments. Whereupon the Englishman replied, oh yes, but we didn't keep them. Many a true word is spoken in jest, so they say. Let's listen to Brian Dirksen singing Just As I Am. In it we bring all our burdens, all our baggage to God, and we come to him just as we are, our true selves.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and we soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Rules are important. We may not like them, but we need them to have order in society, and so people can be protected by them. But some laws have been quite bizarre through history, like this one. Any person found breaking a boiled egg at the sharp end will be sentenced to 24 hours in the village stocks. Now, what is that one all about? That was in Edward VI's reign. Some laws are now obsolete for very good reasons, such as this one. If a steam locomotive is driven on roads, a man must walk in front of the vehicle with a red flag. Can you just imagine all the traffic jams if that were still in existence? The Bible tells us that the Ten Commandments were given by God for the people, and their rules which have been the foundation for the laws we have today. But these 10 were actually developed and added to over time, so that by Jesus' day these 10 had developed into thousands of mini-laws. The Jewish leaders were enforcers of these laws, and everyone was expected to obey them. In this reading today, we see how Jesus' disciples have broken one of these laws. They've been judged for not washing their hands before eating. Shock, horror. For the law stated that food was deemed foul and unfit for consumption when touched with unclean hands. And Jesus seems to bear the brunt of their criticism. After all, they were his disciples. He was their rabbi, their teacher. So in saying to Jesus, "Your disciples are not obeying the law," they're actually questioning his competence as a teacher. They were forever watching him and judging him. And what they were really saying here was, "You ought to keep them right, or are you a sinner too?" Nina Simone sings our next song, "O Sinner Man."
O sinner man, where you gonna run to? Sinner man, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day, will I run to the rock? Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me and run to the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on that day. But the rock cried out, "I can't hide you." The rock cried out, "I can't hide you." The rock cried out, "I ain't gonna hide you, Dad." All on that day, I said, "Rock, what's the matter with you, Rock? Don't you see I need you, Rock? Lord, Lord, Lord." All on that day, so I ran to the river. It was bleeding, ran to the sea. It was bleeding, ran to the sea. It was bleeding all on that day. So I ran to the river. It was boiling, I ran to the sea. It was boiling, I ran to the sea. It was boiling all on that day. So I ran to the Lord.
Jesus responded to his critics by simply speaking the truth of what he observed. He knew his accusers were guilty of many sins. There's a popular saying today that when we criticize others, pointing one finger of judgment at them, we're actually pointing three fingers back in our own direction. We happily point out the faults of others when we have tremendous flaws too. Criticism seems to have become a well-practiced gift, indeed an art form in today's world. But the only place for this gift is burial. Someone said this recently to a person who was boasting that he had the gift of criticism. You see, the leaders of the people would sometimes avoid obeying the Ten Commandments themselves by putting man-made rules in their place. They also set a bad example as leaders, forever judging others when they themselves were guilty of far worse deeds. This is what angered Jesus, for such people put others off religion and turned them away from God. Might we have done the same in our lives at any time? Here's a song called "Ain't Nobody's Fault But Mine" with the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine.
will die and will soul be lost. Ain't nobody's fault but mine. Well, it's nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault. Bible I can read. I got a Bible I can read. If I fail to read it and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine. Well, my mother, she taught me how to pray. Mother, she taught me how to pray. If I fail to pray and my soul be lost, ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Sometimes people don't realise when they are doing something wrong. I still remember when I shocked a friend's mother by licking a sauce bottle after I'd used it at her daughter's birthday party. I was only young at the time, but there was the sauce trickling down the outside and I was happy to clean it up. I still remember her horrified face and the shame on my older sister's face too. I was also in trouble when I got home and it was reported, but I had to be taught that it was wrong. But you live and learn, don't you? There was a time in Jewish history when the people had been allowed to return to their homeland after being held in exile in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and rules had been allowed to slip while they'd been away living in a foreign land, and many were ignorant about their own laws. So when a leader called Ezra stood up and read the rule books to them on their return, they were horrified. They really didn't know they were guilty of wrongdoing, and as a result they repented and turned back to God. The difference here in today's story, though, is that these elders weren't ignorant about the rules. They knew them only too well. They were just blind to their own faults. But Jesus' critics did not daunt him. He continued speaking, and again he shocked them, saying, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him." This outraged them, for it was their firm belief that certain foods were unclean and must not be eaten. But in saying this, Jesus was declaring all foods clean. But then he went one step further. Rather it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. Jesus accused them with words from the prophet Isaiah, saying, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely rules taught by men." You know, I wonder how God views us all in today's world. Do we still honour him today? Are our hearts far from him? Do we turn to him just when it suits us or we're in trouble? Have we drawn up our own set of rules? Here's a song by a friend of mine called Margaret Scott, where she asks similar questions. It's called "What of You?"
What of you? From there you can see for miles and miles and centuries, and you look with love and you look with loving tears. And when I think of all the pain we've caused each other through those years, I wonder how you still could see it through. What of you? You see us with our callous ways and muddled thoughts, yet you love us and you call us back to you. And at your cross we find the grace to start again, to care, try again to love each other as you do. When you prayed, "Father, forgive them," were you thinking of us too? of the countless times that we would break your heart. What of you? You see us as your children, and you know our need, and you will us to choose life and turn to you. For with the past forgiven and the future by your side, we can look again and see the world anew. For you made us for each other, and you free us all to love, and through you we can see the goodness that's still there. What of you?
Let's listen to this next prayer from the chorus of our next song, and perhaps this can be our prayer for today. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. This is the chorus in our next song, Beauty from Brokenness by Graeme Kendrick.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in the suffering, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills. Work for the craftsman, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear. Cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, His cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame.
Jesus once emphasized two rules we should live by, which fulfill all the 10 given to Moses by God. If we keep these, we actually keep them all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. These were the two rules. In reality, though, there's only one person's life we can really change, and that's our own, by turning to God and away from the wrong we do. But we can all keep praying for our nation and for the world. In the second book of Chronicles are these words. The Lord says, If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Beautiful words. This final song, again from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters, is based upon that reading. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and may the Lord bless you and draw you ever closer to him. May you come to know the depth, the breadth, and the height of his love for you. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in bringing you this program and for his keyboard skills in two of today's songs. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye for now.
And it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill. Here's the song, If My People. Bye for now.
When the heavens do not open and there is no more